From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us as we continue our studies in Colossians chapter 1, returning today to the words of verse 26 and 27, and the mystery of which Paul there speaks, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We'll be turning to that in just a few minutes, but first we commence with our daily devotional Bible study for today, taken from Psalm 22 and verse 1, a verse that leads us into the depths of the mystery of Calvary. It is titled, Remembering Christ's Death. Psalm 22, 1, My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There's an old hymn which has the chorus, Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. This familiar hymn expresses well the way to keep Christ's love a reality in our hearts. When Paul confessed Christ's love as the motivating force of his life in 2 Corinthians 5:14, he was thinking of the Savior's death as the evidence of that love. Remembering Calvary is the cure for the doubts, the frustrations, and the clouds that so frequently rob God's people of peace and joy. It's what gives direction and purpose to the Christian life. Although written hundreds of years before Christ's death, Psalm 22 leads us directly to Calvary. It's a record of Christ's saddest hours, of his dying words. It describes both the darkness and the glory of the cross. As you read this minutely fulfilled prophecy, remember that Christ endured it all for you. Consider that he was forsaken of God, according to verses 1 and 2. Answering the question, Why hast thou forsaken me? Brings us to the very heart of the atonement. Christ was not forsaken by God because of anything he had done, but because of what we were. As our substitute, he became a curse that we might be accepted by God. Consider that he was rejected by men, according to Psalm 22, 6 through 8. He experienced the depths of humiliation voluntarily that we might be exalted with him. Although sinners mock him in his death, we for whom he died rejoice. Consider that he was afflicted in body and soul, according to verses 12 through 18. In his agony, shame, and death, he wove for us the garment of salvation and the robe of righteousness. How can we live unto ourselves when our hearts are overwhelmed by the fact that Christ died for us? And our thought for the day comes from the great English Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. If we would live aright, it must be by the contemplation of Christ's death.
My riches came.
Each month, Let the Bible Speak produces what we simply call the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape, or CD for those who prefer it. This is a sort of electronic magazine, and it's a very useful thing to have. For example, some older folk may have difficulty reading a magazine, but they can listen to a tape or CD. Another example, some people are pushed for time, but have time as they drive here and there in their car. And a good tape can be a means not only of making the journey more pleasant, but of spiritual blessing to their hearts. The Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD has an exposition of Scripture, a devotional message, and a testimony or missionary segment, all with some good Christian music. Our monthly tape or CD is available to you free of charge if you simply write or call and request it. And I hope you will. I know it will be a blessing to your heart, so get in touch today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you.
In dealing with Paul's statement in Colossians 1, 26 and 27, especially the words, this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory, we have seen that in the Word of God, a mystery is something undiscoverable by human reason, but that is made known by divine revelation. The mystery that the New Testament speaks about is the revelation of God in Christ. Yesterday we started looking at three great texts that expound this mystery. We started to deal with 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, a verse that addresses many of the fundamental truths of the gospel. We studied its testimony to the person of Christ, and now proceed to what it has to say about the proving of Christ. So let's turn to God's Word. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God was manifested in the flesh. It's the person of Christ. He speaks of the proof or the proving of Christ. He was justified. And the idea there is, I think, of being vindicated by the Spirit. At every stage, the blessed Holy Spirit set a divine stamp of vindication upon Christ's person and claims. At his baptism, he was there. He filled him without measure with all his fullness. Even when it came to Calvary, it was by the eternal Spirit that Christ gave himself up on the cross. At his resurrection, the Holy Spirit was active with power. On the day of Pentecost, he poured out his fullness. In the formation of the church, he demonstrated his vindication of Christ. He was justified in the Spirit. There's the preeminence of Christ. It's part of the mystery. He was seen of angels. There's a sermon in itself that time's not going to allow me to go into today. He was seen of angels. They saw him at his birth. And the Father said, when he brought forth his only begotten Son into this world, let all the angels of God worship him. He may have been led in a manger, in an outhouse, but the angels of heaven watched o'er the babe. They saw him in his temptation. They didn't help him, but they saw him. They were there in the wilderness. And after and only after he had done battle with all the power of Satan and of hell and single-handedly had overcome, did the angels come and strengthen him. They saw him in Gethsemane when his disciples slept as he prayed. They saw the mighty agony as the Son of God battled again with all the hellish powers that were against him until the blood oozed through the pores of his skin like sweat. They saw him and they heard him. Not my will, but thine be done. They saw him at his resurrection. The angel rolled the stone away, not to let him out, but to let his disciples in. The angel sat at the head and at the foot of the place where his body had lain. They saw him in his resurrection, and they were there as he ascended into heaven, challenging the waiting disciples, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Oh, he was seen of angels. Spurgeon quoted a hymn I can't tell you where, so don't come and ask me. It's so many years since I read this quotation. But Spurgeon quoted a hymn. They brought his chariot from above to bear him to his throne, clapped their triumphant wings and cried, the glorious work is done. He was seen of angels. That's the preeminence of Christ. The proclamation of Christ, he was preached unto the Gentiles. Throughout the Old Testament, there are prophecies about the calling of the Gentiles. But now it's fully revealed, this calling. And it's something the Jews never expected. Here's the mystery. Not that God is going to call the Gentiles, but how he's going to do it. And he's going to make them part of the Israel of God. One body, one bride, one church. Ephesians 3, verses 3 and 6. Paul speaks of how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery. What is that mystery? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What a mystery. And then there's the mystery of the power of Christ. He's believed on in the world. Now where's the mystery there? Where's the mystery? Stop and think. Have you ever heard a preacher say, or a personal worker say, have you ever even said yourself, when you've gone out trying to witness for Christ, that people are very hard? That there's not much hearing for the gospel these days? Sure you've heard that. Now, transport yourself back in time 2,000 years. The Jews were a despised people. They were a conquered people. They were under the heel and dominion of the Romans. Then, as now, wherever they went, they were a people under suspicion. And they were always in position to become the butt of everybody's hatred. Nothing has changed. Now here comes a message that a Jew who never wrote a line of a book in his life, he left no literature, he left no money. As far as the world could see, he left no organization. He had no friends in high places. This Jew died claiming to be the Son of God. And out came his disciples with the message that he had died for our sins and risen again. They were going out into a world that had already got hundreds of gods. Had they come proclaiming another god, they would have been quite welcome. But they didn't. They came proclaiming exclusively the only true and living God, apart from whom there was no life, no salvation, no grace, and that all these other gods were only so many idol faces behind which lurked the devil himself. Not a very popular message. And yet, Christ was believed on in the world. Where's the mystery? As Colossians chapter 2 puts it in verse 12, this faith is by the operation of God. In other words, there was a mighty moving of the Holy Spirit of God with power to bring men and women to repentance. Then there's the mystery of the promotion of Christ. He was received up into glory. Now, where's the mystery there? You say he's God? Well, where's the mystery that God would go to glory? Well, there's no mystery in that. But here's the mystery. As I've often pointed out and never tire of thinking myself, according to Hebrews 9, it was not because he was God that he ascended. As I say, there would be little mystery in saying God inhabits glory.
but it was as man he ascended. In other words, the glory that Christ ascended to was not the glory that belongs to God because he is eternal and essentially God, but it is the glory that he earned as the man Christ Jesus. He earned that place at the Father's right hand. He fulfilled the commission that he had been given. He fulfilled the terms of the covenant of redemption. God had said, you do this and I will do this. Now comes the Lord Jesus with the finished work in his hands, as it were. And he says, Father, there it is. I have done it all. And he ascends up into everlasting glory. There's a man in the glory. And that's why there's a gospel to preach, you know. I want to be very careful what I say here. The gospel cannot rest simply on the fact that there's a God in glory. Now, we couldn't have a gospel without the God of glory and reigning in glory. But God could be in glory and you and I be in hell without one single word of gospel ever to reach us. In order for there to be a gospel, God becomes manifest in the flesh, down, down, down to the depths of human woe, in order to rise back up to the heights of heavenly glory. There's a man in the glory. That is the mystery and the majesty and the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me turn you to one more scripture. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 and verse 32, we read, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. I'm leaving out the middle verse 31 because it's to do with marriage. Not because I have nothing to say in marriage, but because I want to focus on this. Verse 32, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. What's the mystery? It's the union of Christ and his people. Now here we get to the very heart of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ did something for his people. That's wonderful. But here's something more. Everything he did as his people. He not only did for your benefit, he did it in your place. He did it in your name. He did it as your representative. He did it for you. He did it as you. So that in God's mercy and grace, and according to his covenant arrangement, because of this union with Christ, we stand invested with all the merits of the Savior. Everything he earned. Why did he earn it? Did he need it? He earned glory. Did he need it? For himself? The thought is preposterous. He earned it for us.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available
to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.